Write down the vision that God has given you and make it plain so that you can run and read it and run at the same time. In other words, you can read it, you know what to do, how to follow it, as you're in action, whatever it is that God has you doing. Write it down and make it plain. That's what I wanted to talk to you all about as far as like vision planning. Vision planning is so important. It's so important that you put things together and pursue whatever it is that God's showing you to pursue. You know, what would have happened if Noah said, man, that was some crazy pizza I ate last night. I thought I heard from God to build a boat. I don't even know what a boat is. And he just blew it off. I guess God could have just started over with another earth or somebody else, probably. What about the things that God is putting in you and birthing in you? Those things that you have inside you, they're just as critical, just as important.
That's right.
But if you're not going to believe it, who will?
Right.
You know what I mean? Shake off that unbelief.
Yeah.
How many of you have received prophetic words about your life in here? How many? All right, now put your hands down again. That was almost all of you. How many of you have built a plan out to fulfill that prophetic word? You got a specific plan on how you're going to fulfill it. I don't see as many hands raised. I think I'm talking to the right audience. Okay, so why is a vision plan important for you? Okay. So I just think I asked you about your vision. What are you doing? You got prophetic words, but you don't have a plan for it. So why is it important for you? Go ahead and hit the next. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no revelation, people cast off constraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. So one of the reasons why you want to have a plan is because it helps you to marshal your attention and your resources on achieving what it is that you are supposed to be doing. But if you don't have one, you cast off restraint. You cast off discipline. If you don't have a plan, you don't really know what to do or where to go or how to achieve. So Proverbs 29:18 is a principle. If you got a vision or you have a revelation, that is supposed to help you to discipline yourself and do what it is you're supposed to do. Okay, go ahead to the next. Vision helps to inspire commitment, which leads to focused effort. So think about Noah. Noah, go build an ark. Okay. Well, I'm just going to wait on the Lord now. He said, build an ark, but man, if he don't do it, it ain't going to happen. How many times have you heard people say that about their prophecies? I hear that all the time. Well, if you get this word or whatever, but you don't do anything with it, well, if it is the Lord, he'll have to do it because I have no idea. And you don't even lift a finger to like try to pursue anything about what that word was, even though you got goosebumps when you heard it. It's like, man, I know that was with the Lord, but you don't do anything about it. There's no focused effort. What if Noah had no focused effort? He didn't lift a hammer. Well, Lord, you just better do it because you're the one who gave the vision. Okay, go to the next one. And if you don't have any effort, there's not going to be any accomplishment.
Right.
No effort, no accomplishment. Lack of accomplishment leads to frustration. You get frustrated because you don't feel like you're achieving and doing what it is that you know that you should be doing. You have an inspiration, but there's nothing happening to get you there. And you get frustrated. And then you get mad and you kick your dog. Well, no, hopefully don't kick your dog. But sustained frustration breeds hopelessness. Sustained frustration breeds hopelessness. That's not the land we want to live in. Go ahead and go to the next one. But hope is a fertile soil that gives birth to faith. So if we'll start pursuing hope, if we'll start pursuing effort, if we'll start pursuing what it is that he's shown us, whatever small thing it is that you know to do, which might just be, Lord, here am I. You said I was going to be a minister in the nations. I don't even know how to, I don't even got a passport. Well, David, first thing, why don't you go down to the passport office? Or whatever it is, you know, he shows you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is says to us, well, God said it, so I believe it. That settles it. I'm just going to start doing it. Okay? If you have no vision for yourself, I like this. As I was kind of studying about different things about people who had visions, and I was looking in all different places, looking in sources like in from Christian ministers to motivational speakers to just practical people who are married and stuff like that. I came across this quote, and I can't remember. I would put it up there who it is, but I can't remember who it was. But I heard this, and it just like rung a bell with me. And it's because I have seen this happen, not only in my life, but in the lives of other people that I've, you know, witness. If you don't have a vision for yourself, you'll probably become a bit player in the vision of another. There'll be a leader or somebody you're around, and they'll have a vision about what to do, and it's like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'll just help you do what you got to do. Which might be a good thing. It's better than nothing. But it also might be taking you contrary to where you're supposed to be. You see, God does have a vision for you, and he's spoken to you about it, but you have got to add some pursuit of it. Otherwise, this is what happens. You just are ended up supporting somebody else, but not really fulfilling your vision. And that leads to frustration. Go ahead to the next one. That's okay. Faith is planning. I wanted to say it that way to you. Miles Monroe says this. Faith is planning, and planning is faith. If you're not planning, then you don't believe what it is that you've heard. If you fail to plan, then you're planning to fail. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. You got no plan, well, guess what? You're probably not going to achieve anything. That's kind of how that works. I think there is a disease in the charismatic church which says that, you know, the only way you're supposed to live your life as a charismatic Christian is you just got to do things in the moment. Well, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. I just got through telling you about a man named Noah who had an encounter with God who said to him, Noah, go build a boat. If Noah didn't build it and he got to year 100, I think there'd be a whole lot of frustrated people and animals at that stage, don't you think? But he had to execute on what it was that the Lord said to him back in year one. And he had to do it for 100 years until he saw the fruit of what it was that God wanted to do. That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? It takes a lot of faith to believe what God has said to you. But, I've told you just a moment ago, you're going to get a lot of critics who aren't going to believe you. They're going to think that you're full of crap. You're nutso. But you've got to, that's good. You've got to create plans to pursue after what it is that God said to you. Faith is conviction about the future. It's conviction. It's hard, fast evidence. I am convicted that God has told me to be a prophet. I am convicted that God has told me to be a minister to the nations. Whatever it is that he said to you, if you're convicted, then you'll start creating a plan to pursue. Whatever that might be, it might be as simple as, you know what, I just need to, every morning at 5:30, I need to get up, and that's going to be my time to seek God, have a devotion so that I can get my soul in line, in agreement with what he said to me to do. You know, maybe it might be that. Or maybe it might be, you know what, I need to attend a school on learning about how to be a leader. Whether that's a spiritual school or not a spiritual school. But I need to do that so I can learn how to lead people. And so if you have that conviction, like that's what God told me, you start doing things to line up with it. I think sometimes in the charismatic church, we get too hung up on like, well, God's just got to overwhelm me. And, you know, he said I was going to be a musician, but I don't know how to play nothing. Well, are you taking any lessons? Well, no, but I... He's going to do it sovereignly. I think we get hung up on that. He's going to do it sovereignly thing. Not that God can't. He can. He does. But sometimes he does it the other way too. I just think we should start moving in the direction of whatever it is that he said. Whether he moves sovereignly and causes things to happen, boom, 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 or it takes us 100 years, whatever. At the end of the day, my soul is going to operate in the conviction, this is what he said, I'm going to start doing it. And become that which he said. If that's not you, then you don't believe what it is he's told you. That's the plain truth of it. You don't believe it. That's scary, isn't it? Go to the next one. Faith, by the way, demands a plan. God's got a plan for you, but he's not going to plan for you. Uh-oh. That one might sting a little bit. He has a plan, and he's asking you to plan, but he's not going to do it for you. He'll probably help you if you'll start moving. And by the way, he does. He's very good at that. He's a very good encourager. Go to the next one. If God tells you to do something and you don't document it, plan to do it, you don't believe it. Some of you might not like that. I stand on that one. I will be happy to debate you. And we can have a conversation. But I think it's true. If you're not documenting, you're not doing, or at least document in your mind, okay, I'm going to follow this X, Y, Z so I can get to here, because this is what God said to me. If you're not doing that, you probably don't believe it. And you need to practice what Robin was sharing with us earlier. Shake some stuff off. Amen. Shake it off. Shake off that unbelief. Get to the point where you're pressing in whatever it is that God's shown you. Okay? All right, go to the next one. A planner will always be promoted. That's true, because a planner is a visionary. You know, if you're planning, you're having a vision. You have a vision of the future. You want to know why CEOs get paid so much in the United States? Because they've got a vision. And they can see what the future is, and they can say, hey, this is where we're taking this company, and this is where we're going to go. That's why they get paid what they get paid. Because they're the one at the top of the house saying, hey, this is our promised land. This is where we're going. Here's how we're going to do it. Well, I don't know if we can do it. Yes, we can. Here's why. Here's how we can do it. We'll put this one, this, and this. And so anyway, I've seen it over and over and over. In the church, in the business realm, folks who are visionaries are the ones who are promoted. Because you know where we're going. I don't want to follow somebody who don't know what they're doing. I don't know about y'all. I'm living in that land. That ain't no fun. We're going somewhere. All right, hit the next slide. So how long should your vision be? Okay. So how long is God's vision for your life? Well, he only thinks a day ahead. That's how he is. The Lord is the one who spoke about the end from the beginning, because he has a plan. And he made provision for it in the beginning, knowing what the end was in sight. How long was that vision? How long is your vision plan? I think I just made my point. It's important that you have a vision for your life. Go ahead and go to the next one. God's actions today are inspired by his vision of your tomorrow. Did you know that? He's investing in you today because he sees where you're going to become and what you're going to become. Isn't that cool? What he does today is because of your tomorrow. He calls me his son because there's a time I will be with him in heaven. I'll tell y'all something just personal. So we were going through the worship time, and those songs, Pastor John, I was falling apart. When you hit on the phrase about these dry bones, you know, are going to speak, and I started thinking about my dad and my sister who were in heaven and how they were, although they're dead on the earth, their bodies no longer exist on the earth, they're alive in heaven and their bones are speaking, you know. And I was thinking about my dad, and my dad died when I was 12. My sister died when was 2 years ago, so I was 57. I was thinking about them both. And so then you started singing a song, Shua, about gratitude. I'll try not to fall apart. But when my sister died, we were battling for her soul and her body because she was falling apart. We were in West Texas. She had something going on in her intestine and things just were not healing. And we would battle and pray, and we would get a breakthrough, and then the next day it would go the other way, and it was like that for weeks with her. And then one morning, I just had this conversation with the Lord. I said, "Lord, what's going on with my sister? Why are these victories temporary?" Because we would pray things and we would get the answer from the doctor the next day, like, okay, yeah, things are... And then 24 hours later, boom. "Lord, what's going on?" And then I'm trying not to fall apart. And then he showed me these three angels coming. And I knew they were coming for my sister. And I knew at that point, because I was standing in faith, I really wanted to see her healed. But the Lord had another plan, which is okay. He's the Lord, I'm not. And so I saw these angels coming, and I knew they were coming for her. And I said, "Okay, Lord, she's time for her to go with you." And at that moment, that's when that song came on, Gratitude. And so I told my soul, "We're going to praise God in this moment. Don't be shy on me. Lift up your hands. Let that lion out and praise the Lord." And that's what I did. In that moment, I felt like it was a sacrifice of praise to give him. And I really wanted my sister alive. I wanted to take her to Costa Rica with me. I would tell her about that. And she never got a chance to go. I know she would have loved it. But that's what the Lord said to me. It's time for her to come to be with your dad. Which she always wanted to be with him anyway. She missed him so bad. And so when you started singing that song, Shua, I was back there watching those dry bones coming alive. And then Pastor John had to throw in how great thou art at the end. You just had to do it. That's my daddy's song. That's my daddy's song. I grew up listening to that when I was a kid. That's part of the inspiration of my soul. How great is God? So, God's got a vision. He saw one day I would be here telling you about my daddy and my sister. His actions back then in my yesterdays were about what he would say would be released here today. Amen. And of course, much into the future. Amen. He's got a plan for you.
Yes. Amen.
He has something for you to do. But there has to be a time, an investment, a commitment, sometimes of pain, sometimes of suffering, sometimes of folks surrounding you with doubt. But don't let that persuade you differently. Stick with what it is he's shown you. And you'll see it will speak and it'll become fruitful in the end. Again, I feel this is like what you said, Pastor John. This is a very anointed time for especially you younger folks, but all of us really. Of what he was calling us to do and invest so that we might see the fruition of what he wants to see happen in our tomorrows.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Go ahead and go to the next one. See, when we have long-term vision about what God wants to take you, it gives us perspective on what's going on today. Because today we might be in a place or in the valley of the shadow of death or the valley of the shadow of fear. Or the valley of shadow of doubt or whatever. But if we have a vision for what it is that we're going to, it helps us put things in perspective and not get pushed or persuaded elsewhere. And I was thinking about it this way. I'll have to get back to that. I was just thinking about how, you know, when we can have that vision of what is, you know, our future, it just helps us get everything in line. It can help us cope with things that are going on today. Go ahead and hit the next one. So I went through this thing with my wife. We did this back in 2019. Is that when we first did it? I think 18 or 19. And I've been studying about long-term vision planning and stuff like that. And I decided, you know what? I think we just need to build one. And so we spent a weekend together just kind of working on a plan of like, well, how would we, what should we address? What should we think about? I handed out some things to you guys last night, and Michelle has, for those of you who weren't there last night, we have some more copies of that. If she wouldn't mind handing that out. And on it, it's just a tool to use to have you think about your life right now and what's going on with your life. And it breaks it down into like 8 different areas, and then it has you take your answers and then plot them on a wheel. And so my wife and I, we went through this exercise where we were filling out these questions. The instructions are on the page. It'll tell you, like, if that is a statement that applies to you and it's really active and moving in your life, you might rate it a 5. if it's something that's kind of happening, but it's not as much as you want it to be, it might be a 3 or a 4 or a 2. And then if it's not happening at all, you rate it a 1. So we filled out all that stuff, and then we plotted it on this, what we call the wheel of life. And when we finished it, my wheel was lopsided. I had some holes in my wheel. And that was a picture to help me realize, you know what, I probably need to do something about that flat spot in my wheel. So that's one way that we used that tool. The other way that we used that tool was my wife filled it out with her perspective. So I filled it out, and then she filled it out, and then we talked about it. And there was things that I rated like as a 2. She might have rated it as a 4 or 5. And vice versa. So we had a conversation about that. Like, what's going on in your life that you see it that way versus how I see it? And we had that conversation, you know, because we're married, right? Where the two are supposed to be one. So we went through that. And I'll tell you the truth, there were some things when we thought through that. This is meant to help you think about different aspects of your life, and is it where you want it to be? And does it line up with maybe what you feel like God has told you that you're supposed to do? Yeah, we did it separately first. Then we compared. And then we had some tears. And we had some long discussions. Well, honey, you rated this thing about our friends like as a 5. I rated it as a 2. And then I would tell her why, and, you know. So to me, that was an indicator like, you know what, maybe I need to build out something in my plan for my life to do something about this. Because it's not where I want to be. My only regret is I waited so long to do that. I wished I had done it sooner so that I wasn't in the position that I was in. But at least I did it. So I'm just sharing this with you as a tool for you to consider as you're trying to think about building out a plan for your life. Go ahead and hit the next one. Oh, and it's likely that you're going to have 1 to 2 year goals that are going to be detailed, and then you're going to have longer term goals that are be more principle based, but try to get more detail. Go ahead and go to the next, or will it go to the next one? There you go. Oh, that's right. That one. So I think at a minimum, you should at least build out a 5-year plan. Now, remember, God's already knows your end from your beginning. So his plan is actually a lot longer. You could go as long as you want. But I think you at least come up with a 5-year plan. So it kind of helps you get a longer term perspective. But 20 years, I think, is better. So Michelle and I, we have a 20-year plan that we built out. You know what's amazing to me as we built that thing out? Is how we've seen God show up in fulfilling those things. And like accelerating things. Like, for instance, when we first did it, I'm seeing stuff that maybe I had written down, like we want to accomplish by year 3 or year 5. God wanted to do it in month 3. Like, he was like, hey, David, I've been wanting you to do this for some time. Let's put the pedal on this one. I love that you're patient, but I am not that patient, David. Let's get a move on. I'm joking. Obviously, he's got much more patience than I do, but he put the accelerator on many things in our life. Like, thank goodness you're finally giving some attention to this. Let's get it done now. The other reason why I think this is important that you do this, that you go through this activity, is just the practice of planning and writing things down will help you recognize when the Lord shows up in your life. Where if you didn't have that plan or you hadn't thought through that, you wouldn't recognize it. There's that opportunity you've been looking for. But because you're not aware of it, it's going to float right on by. We had that happen over and over and over to us. Where the Lord would just show up. Like, we had an idea with, we wanted to get together with some key people and stuff like that and do it like once a year. And God started showing up and where we could do it at and location and stuff like that. Or we would have people contact us like, hey, you know, how sure it would be nice to get together with y'all somehow, blah, 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 blah. And God just started putting it together. He started pouring out his grace on that vision because we were giving attention to it. And it helped us begin to recognize when he was showing up. But if you don't do that, you may just, you might miss it. You might miss your opportunity. You want to take advantage of a life, of a opportunity of a lifetime in the lifetime of the opportunity, right? Sometimes opportunities come across and they're only for a small moment of time. But if you're not taking advantage of it, you miss it. Hasn't that happened? Oh, yeah. Go ahead. So things to consider as you build out your plan. Review your prophetic words. Review those words that you've gotten, especially the ones that gave you double goosebumps, that you just knew that was God's show. I don't know how. Man, when that guy came to my house, blah, 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 whatever, came to our church, said blah, blah, blah. Review them. Mark it down. Things that you know that God's called you to, you want to make that part of your plan, right? You definitely do. Or how about just encounters that you had? Just encounters where you were in a Bible study, it was just you and the Lord, and you just knew the Lord showed up and he told you something. Write that down and build that in as part of your plan, okay? And think about taking a balanced approach. So that wheel of life thing that we have, that's kind of a beginning for you to have a balanced approach. It may not be everything that you need to think about in your own life, but at least it gives you some categories to think about, like your health, your finances, your education, your career, your families, relationships that are important to you, spiritual matters. You know, all those different things. I think you should have a plan for all of it. I'm kind of weird. I've written down when I feel like the Lord's going to take my mom home. I have it written down. Now, look, I'm okay if he doesn't do it what I wrote down. But I've had that conversation with him. Have the conversation with the Lord about all these different areas of your life. Do you think he might be interested in it? Can I say this to you? If he knows the very hairs of your head, the number of them, don't you think he's interested in all these big categories? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know what was said, but I just amen it. Absolutely. He's interested in it. He'll talk with you. He's probably waiting for you to say, would you just have a conversation with me about this? And that's what we did. So my wife and I, we just started having these conversations with one another, and then we took it before the Lord. And then from there, we kind of had all these different kernels of bits of pieces of information, of things that we wanted to see happen, and we began to plot out and have a conversation with God. Lord, when should this happen? When should this happen? This area of my life, Lord, I'm not satisfied about, but I know you have a better plan for me. What is that? And just have a conversation with him. And then start to think through, okay, well, what is that supposed to look like? Or what can I do? Lord, I'm not healthy. I don't feel good. My body is this. What can I do to begin to agree with you to kind of help get in the better place so that I can feel better? Because I know you have a bigger plan for me. And the way I feel right now, I can't fulfill those things that I feel like you've called me to do. And so what can I do to come into agreement and alignment with you so that I can get myself in the shape so I can do what it is you've called me to do? Quite honestly, that's why Michelle and I started playing pickleball. We play pickleball, man. We are pickleball crazy people. We got bandanas and war paint and... It's a fearsome sight to see, but it's good. It's good exercise, and it's getting my heart healthy. My heartbeat now is better than it was in my 20s and 30s. My resting heart rate, come up here. My resting heart rate's about 55 now. Isn't that amazing? That's pretty darn good.
So I'm going to tell on us with that. So that was part of my vision plan, was to play. I didn't even know what pickleball was. I mean, I had a daughter that played volleyball, and I took her, dropped her off one time at practice, and they had, there was some older people there playing pickleball. I went, oh, okay, I don't even know what that is. It looked like they're having a good time. And so when we did that, one of my things was, okay, what are like three things I was going to do to try to get healthier? And I thought, okay, well, I'll just put that on there. It'll be a fun thing to try to do or whatever. And so we got to, we're going through the year and we're into September. And I'm looking at my plan and I go, oh my gosh, we're almost at the end of the year. And one of the things was learn how to play pickleball, you know? So I went, gosh, I got to go do that, you know? So because I had my plan. So I went in and I did that. So I thought, okay, I'll take a class. So I took this one couple-hour class and did that, came home, and they said, you know the rules now. Just get out there and, you know, go meet people and go do it. So I did it, and I came home that first day, and I went, oh, my gosh, I love pickleball. And I went, it is so much fun. And, I mean, we used to play tennis a long time ago when we only had two kids, and they didn't multiply on us. But so I just had a blast. I came home and I said, David, it wasn't even on his list. I said, you've got to go play pickleball. I said, you will love it. So he went and played pickleball, and the rest is history. I mean, we've been playing pickleball for a long time now.
4 or 5 years? 5 years,
yeah.
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 Yeah. Even won the neighborhood championship, Ron. Tell you what, look out. Look out. I mean, the really good guys weren't playing, but I still won that championship. Anyway, so I just looked at my watch. I went, man, I definitely got preacher's disease because I'm at 1 o'clock. So I apologize for that. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Okay. I'm sorry. I got to say one more thing with this. When you get your plan written out, remember, you got to read it. You just don't wait, put your plan and then you put it in a book and wait till next year and pull it out. I mean, I put my plan on my mirror by my sink. So guess what? I started learning my plan because at least 2 or 3 times a day, I'm looking at that thing. And, I mean, the print was big enough that I could see it without my glasses on at my sink. Okay, this is on my plan. You know, I mean, when I learned scriptures many years ago, too, you know, I'd write them on index cards. I put them all over the house. I put my plan on my sink so that I knew what my plan was. So, because there was something that happened when I did that. I was seeing it all the time, and I had it before me. And God did something with that. I knew my plan, and I knew my goals I was working toward. And, I mean, spiritual goals, healthy goals, all those goals, I knew. And God met with me, and it was amazing what he did. I mean, we even had one thing that I made our plan a little more than, I mean, it was a stretch. And David's like, oh my, that's a big stretch. And I went, yeah, I know, but I mean, God can do anything. But we watched that course of that first year, and God did that thing that was on my plan. And it was a shock, but he did it, and he's faithful.
Amen. Amen. So you want to, as you think through creating this plan, you want to create a mission statement, which is like a small paragraph that, like, hey, this is what my life is about. You'll want to create a plan. Like, I have got a spreadsheet. I can share it with you. I'll send it to Pastor John, and he can flip it to you. It has different categories on it. It's going to look, you know, like, wow, just a short little thing. But, you know, that's where you got to fill in the detail. But go ahead and I better put my glasses on. And then you want to print it out. Oh, yeah, and read it often. Go ahead, the next one. Review it at least 5 or 6 times during the year, just so you can remember it. And then revise it every year. So that's what we do. We revise it every year. We make an adjustment because we grow and we mature. And there's things that God starts talking to us about now that he didn't talk to us about 5 years ago. So we want to incorporate that in our plan. So each year we're kind of adjusting and revising it. I wanted to read you the vision statement, and then I want to pray for some people. So here's my mission statement. This is what I mean by mission statement. So my vision is to be a loving and dynamic man of God, devoted husband, and passionately involved dad to my children and grandchildren. I'm inspired to fulfill the call of Isaiah 58 and 61. God started talking to me about those scriptures in my 20s. To raise up generations and nations out of darkness to become disciples of Christ and living in kingdom culture. I live in the anointing of a visionary pioneer, breaking new ground and reclaiming territories by teaching, evangelizing, prophesying, healing, and equipping individuals and organizations to become more like Christ and become ready for the day when every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So that's my mission statement. I read that to myself and I pray about it, and I am always holding myself accountable to that. Like, Lord, what do I need to do today to be that which you told me you wanted to do in my life? You know, so you want to create that plan, but then you also want to create something like this, because it's that quick hit inspiration that you want to remember is a guide. This is who I am. This is what God has called me to be. This is how I'm supposed to show up in the earth.